stepping into your now. And our subtitle is The Convergence of Identity, Destiny, and Gifts in the Aggressive Kingdom Advancement. Say that, the mouthful. Stepping into your now. The convergence of identity, destiny, and gifts in aggressive kingdom advancement. And that's, we're going to look at a familiar passage of scripture in just a moment. I'm not going to be long. I'm going to say what God said to say, and then I'm going to sit down. But one of the things that I want to do is we look over the last 3 years. Some very interesting things have been happening, and God has spoken some very interesting things to us. And I want us to connect some dots. We came into this year, the word was aggressive kingdom advancement. But God said, go back and see what I've spoken that has led to this moment, to this place, this year of this aggressive kingdom advancement. He wants us, and this isn't anything, to be careful that we hear. Anita, can you put Matthew 4:4 up for me real quickly? We know the word says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that, y'all can talk to me, it's okay. Every word that proceeds. A preceding word. It's a continuous action. We live by the continuous speaking of God. But what God is saying, we must hear his proceeding word in light of his preceding words. There is a connection. So we want to hear what he's saying now in light of what he's already said. Listen for his proceeding word in light of his preceding word. So we came into 2020. Going to make some connections here. And do you remember what the word for the year was in 2020 for our house? That's 2020. Mm-hmm. It's not up there yet. That's okay. Seeing and believing. So God's opened our, it was in 2020 of all years that God is speaking, I'm going to open your eyes to see some things from a kingdom perspective, to see some things you've never seen before, and to realize that what I'm showing you, I want you to see from your position in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, to see through Holy Spirit eyes, see as I see, and then step into new places of faith, seeing and believing. And that was the year, you know, everything shut down, pandemic hit, and we saw a lot of things that we probably didn't want to see. But if we gave ourselves over to the word, you began to see it from a different perspective and realizing God is still in charge, he's still on the throne, and that was necessary. The things we saw, the things we experienced were necessary to move us into a new place of faith. Dare I say, the realm of ridiculous faith. I don't think it's a coincidence that that book has come out now, even though he's been teaching the message for years, because God wants us to step into new levels and dimensions and realms of faith because of what we are seeing in our world. We have to move into those places. So God said, our eyes have been opened to see what we've never seen before with clarity through the lens of Holy Spirit and from heavenly places where we are seated in Christ Jesus. Our vision has been fine-tuned to see everything from God's kingdom perspective. And many, he says, have stepped in to those new places of faith, greater faith, greater vision. And ridiculous faith is going to look different for each person. My ridiculous faith surely does not look like Apostle John's yet. But wherever you are, if it's a new place of faith for you, then that's a new place. And just keep moving. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. So then we came into 2021 and he said, anybody remember? hearing and obeying. This was the year of hearing and obeying. And what he showed us that to hear is to obey. If you haven't obeyed, you have either haven't heard or you've chosen to disobey. They're the same words in the Greek and in the Hebrew. It's the same word, Shema in the Hebrew is translated hear and obey. The mindset is when you hear, you respond. That's it. And I think it was pointed out a few weeks ago that the opposite of obedience is not disobedience, it's rebellion. Ooh. And here's the thing. When you hear something that God speaks, you can't unhear it. You can't unhear. You can choose not to obey, but you can't unhear. So he was training us to hear his voice, to hear his whisper above all of the din of voices that were speaking facts, but not necessarily the truth. And to step into his truth, because he knew he was bringing us into this time where we would have to aggressively advance his kingdom. We'd have to be able to see what he wanted us to see, to believe and step into new places of faith. We needed to hear his whisper, just the of his voice, and respond in order to step into the places he's calling us to step into, because I'm telling y'all, it doesn't look like you thought it looked. It's not going to be what you thought it was going to be. God is shifting and moving and placing us in places that we never imagined, before people that we never imagined, to do things that we have no point of reference for, that we've never even considered doing. And we got to be bold enough to say, God said go, I'm going. Right through the door. And I believe that is why Apostle John went back on this message of breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations. Because if we got things holding us back and God opens the door and said, I want you to have a seat at this table. And we're looking intimidated like, I can't sit at that table. What moments for advancing the kingdom are we going to miss because we didn't move? We didn't allow him to break that stuff off of us and to change our thinking so that we could step boldly into those new arenas and new places that he's calling us to. That's what this time is about. Stepping into now. Everybody, over the last 3 years, I just can't wait till things get back to normal. Y'all, if they're not going back to normal. They're not going back to what they used to be. And what lays ahead does not look like we thought it's going to look. So we got to keep our eyes on him and our ears attentive. We're going to look at a familiar passage of scripture. It's don't be dull of hearing. Oh, I've heard this before. If you've got your Bibles, I don't know if people carry Bibles anymore, your electronic devices, turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. And Anita, I'm reading from the New King James Version. I'm just going to start reading, and then I'll give you the Gaston commentary as we go. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. So here we are. We're in Cana. Mary's there. Jesus is there. Didn't know like Jesus liked the party. Jesus was there. The homeboys are there. Everybody's drinking and eating and having a wonderful time. And then Mary comes and says, they don't have any more wine. Now, what is a party without wine? So verse 2, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. And Jesus said, woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. So the wine has run out, and you don't want to be the host of a party when the wine runs out. So Mary goes to the son, hey, they don't have any more wine. Jesus is like, not my problem. Why are you telling me? Sounds a little salty. Why would he talk to his mother like that? And she just totally ignores what he says and says to the servants, whatever he says, do. Selah moment for us all. Whatever he tells you, do. That takes us back to that hearing and obeying. What is God speaking to you in this moment that you have yet to move on? because you're trying to figure it out. How's that going to work? I don't know how to do that. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I don't have enough education. I got too much education. Whatever the reasons we make, can you give me the whole plan? No, he's not going to give you the whole plan. He wants you to take a step. That's what faith is. Taking the risk to take that first step, believing that he's going to show you the next step after you take it. Whatever he says to you, do. So Mary knows something's going to happen. I'm not paying attention to what you just said. I know that you are the Son of God, but I'm still your mother. And whatever he says, do. Verse 6. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding about 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them to draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. So they filled these big jars with water. And then Jesus says, take a cup and take it to the master of the banquet and have him taste it. Now, I'm wondering what the servants are thinking, because they know they put water in these jugs. But they go to the master of the banquet, and he's sipping like, oh, man, this is the best wine I have ever had. And they must be looking like it was water. I know we put water in these jars, but he's talking like either something's wrong with him or something. Wine. The best wine ever. And so he goes and he tells the host and says to him, now don't put this verse up yet, Amina, because I want to see if they've read their Bibles. This is what he said. Usually we go to a party. This is the Gaston translation. Usually we go to a party and they serve all the good stuff first, and then when everybody's drunk and there's another difference, then they put out the cheap stuff. But you have saved the best till. All right, put it up. We say you saved the best to last. That's not what the word says. It says you have kept the good or the best until now. You see, if he's saving the best to last, then I don't have anything else to look forward to. But I'm always in a now. It's always now. And he saved the best for what? Now I want you to look at some your circumstance right now and realize that someone in there is God's best. No matter what it looks like, he has saved the best till now. We read the story over and over again, and we always want to say he saved the best till last. If we're not focusing on what, but sometimes we place our focus on so much that is not now. What happened in the past or what didn't happen in the past, what we want to happen in the future, what we're hoping and praying for is going to happen in the future, that we sometimes miss what God is doing and has purpose to do now. Now is the day of salvation. Now, true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. Now is the time that God is concerned about. At this present moment. A friend of mine texted me a week or so ago, and she said, I want you to hold me accountable. God has been speaking some things that he wants for me to do in this season of my life. And then she texts, I am a writer. And I had to say that to you. So I text her back and said, you are a writer. Any way I can support you, let me know. A week later, she sends me lyrics to this song that she wrote. And it was not just a little chorus. It was verses, chorus, bridge, men sing. It was an elaborate song that she had written an hour after we came into agreement with one another. And I found myself texting her back, and I said this to her. I'll make sure I get exactly what I said. I said, I believe that we have stepped into a time of the convergence of gifts where God is going to move, connect everything that he has called us to be, everything that he has poured into us, and they will begin to work in concert, in sync with one another, for God to get the maximum glory out of our lives. The convergence. So whatever is placed in you. And I looked at my own life and remember God saying, there's coming a time when the teacher and the writer and the worship leader and the intercessor and the prophet will all of those gifts will converge and work together and blend together to produce something that they cannot produce separately. And we are in that season now. That everything that he has placed in you is going to begin to just blend in this beautiful, seamless way. So that I can step into any arena, into any place that God is calling me to, and know the teacher shows up, the prophet shows up, the intercessor shows up, the musician shows up, all of me shows up, and it all works together. Pleasing to God, but advancing the kingdom in places that we've not imagined. So I can step into the boardroom and give a prophetic word without saying, thus said the Lord. Or speaking in tongues. I can see what's going on and know that whatever gift God has placed in me, if he's brought me to that place, everything is going to come to bear in that place. God is opening doors for us to move into places that we've never imagined going. He's moving us from what we thought was a sphere of influence into another sphere of influence. And he's saying, I've already prepared you. You can see. You can hear. You know how to obey. You've got the faith to do it. My grace is being released. Just go into those places. Unafraid, unintimidated, stand flat-footed and say, I'm here because God sent me here to shed his light, to speak his truth, and to shift some things for the kingdom of God. Step into those places knowing the kingdom of God, all of it, shows up because God has placed me here. And then tap into all of it. And then tap into all that God has placed in you. One of the things that God had shown me, few years ago, I was speaking at a women's conference, and the theme was something about praise and worship. And I saw this diamond, and each facet was a different gift or attribute that I had. So one facet was teaching, and the other was singing, and the other was writing, and the other was several things. And God is saying, when I am allowed to shine through each facet of your diamond, my glory is revealed in greater and greater ways. When he is allowed to shine through each facet of your diamond, his glory emanates in such a way that makes people notice, wow, that's pretty brilliant. Wow, that's clear. Wow, that's valuable. And God gets the maximum glory out of our lives when we're all he created us to be, doing all that he called us to do. And this is that season of that convergence. I thought about the incense that was used in the tabernacle. And it was made up of four different ingredients, and each ingredient had its own purpose, and it had accomplished a certain kind of thing, and it had its own fragrance, but it was only when they were blended together that it reproduced the fragrance that was pleasing to God. And so, and it took some breaking, it took some burning, it took some crushing to get that fragrance out, but that's what this season has been about for many of you. You're wondering, why is this, do I feel so broken? Why is this crushing happening to me? Why is all of this going on? And God is saying, because I'm blending together these ingredients that I have placed in you that up until this point, you've kind of compartmentalized and used them separately. But now I'm blending them together to produce something that they cannot produce on their own. Be willing to step in to this new place that God is calling us to. Now, how do I get there? For some, God may be saying, you got to let go of what you've been doing for the last 20 years or 10 years or 30 years. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. You hold on to it, even if it's been fruitful. And even if it is something you know God called you to do, then. But now he's saying, I have something else for you. And you cannot step into the next holding on to something that I'm saying that's not for you in this season. It could be bearing fruit. It could have been extremely fruitful. And God says, let it go. I had this image a couple of weeks ago of God trying to, in a relay race, you got somebody behind you trying to catch that baton because it's their time to run that leg of the race, and you holding on to the baton, running and not letting it go. Who are you blocking from getting into place because you've not let go of what God said, not this season? Because he has. And how can I? And God's going, Holy Spirit's running with the baton for you to catch, but you're so busy holding on and not letting go that you can't grab the baton that he has for you now that will be even more fruitful and produce a fruit that will remain if you would just let go and step into the new. In some cases, God's not necessarily saying let go, but he's saying to shift, pivot, change. He wants to download strategies that will make whatever it is you've been doing look totally different because it's necessary for it to be different in this season. You got to be aggressive. So allow Holy Spirit to just download these strategies and ways and methods of doing an old thing a new way to produce greater fruit. So in some cases, let go. In other cases, we got to pivot. And in some cases, he's just going to say, I'm pushing you into some place that you just have no idea. And you're going to have to trust me every single step of the way because you have not been this way before. It's going to be totally different. God could be speaking to you right now. Go ahead and open that business account. You're like, I don't have a business. And then God drops the name of business. Go register this name with the state and go open a business account. But I don't have a business. Whatever he says, do. He may be saying, go back to school. But I didn't do real well when I was there to begin with. I really don't want to go back. Get your degree. But I don't have it. Whatever he says, do. Because it is a new season. It is a new time. And I want to read exactly what he has spoken to me, dropped into my spirit. Readjust your vision. I know it doesn't look like you thought it would. There are things at this juncture in your life that you believed you would have or see or have done. You had an expectation, a vision from me. And I want to say one other thing before I continue reading that. Whenever God speaks to you and me concerning purpose, he always talks to us also about identity. They are intricately connected. Identity, purpose, destiny. And the majority of the things that we walk through are helping us to get settled in who God says we are. And I don't mean that we're able to quote, I'm the head and not the tail, I'm above and not beneath, and all those scriptures that we can quote, but we have no clue who we really are and why we're wired the way we and why we respond the way we do and how God has so put us together to accomplish something that no one else can accomplish but you. The gifts may look familiar, but they're not going to operate the same way because God has wired you for a different purpose, to be in a different place, to operate in a different kind of way. And if you are not clear on who you are, it took God 25 years for Abram to die and Abraham to come forth. And God does the same with us. He knows who we are. He knows who's in there, and he uses every circumstance in our lives to pull out. Same thing with Jacob. It was another 20 years or so before Jacob died and Israel came forth. He does the same for us. It's always about identity and purpose and destiny. If we go back and look what God spoke to Abram before he left Ur of the Chaldees, it speaks to who he is, and what God purposed to accomplish through him. And he does the same for us. And we have to be open, recognizing, I don't care how much God has done, there is still more he wants to reveal in you. There's still stuff that he needs to take out of you. There's still a person in there that you have yet to meet. I think Pastor Jamal said last week, he said, I'm still learning who I am. And it's all because you have to step fully into who God says you are in order to bear the weight of what he has called you to do. We talk about it all the time, but it bears repeating. Our do is not our who. Everything that we do has to flow from who we are, or we won't fully accomplish those purposes. So this may be a season when you feel like God is digging deep and shining lights and breaking and crushing and all of that great stuff. It's for a purpose. It's necessary to move you into that next place of glory, into that next place that he has for you, to advance the kingdom of God aggressively with the power that he has placed in you, with the gifts that he has placed with you, the wisdom that you have gained over the years, the knowledge that he has poured into you, all of that coming together in concert. So people see God in you as they have never seen him before. People should be looking at you and saying, wow, that must be what God's like. I want to know him. So are they looking at you and saying, wow, is that what God's like? Or are they looking at you and going, is that what God's like? Our responsibility as ambassadors is to represent, to represent Christ, to allow his character to be shaped and moved and formed in us in such a way that he is so reflected in everything we do, in everything we say. People are seeing Jesus. They feel like I've touched the heart of God because I have encountered this person. Wherever you find yourself, not just in the walls of the church, but wherever he is placing you in this season, is he trying to move you into another position on your job, and it's something that you really don't feel qualified for, and you really don't know, and God's saying, apply for it, apply for it, apply for it. Because there's something he wants to do in your now that's different from what he did in your past. Step into that place of now. Now. So God says, the vision that you believed was actually from me, and it was from me, and you have prayed and stepped into it based on what you understood about it. But my vision is so much bigger than you could imagine. And as I continue to draw you out of your comfort zone, even out of your religious context, into my context, you will see the magnitude of the greatness of the vision. And you will see that's how I've been moving in your life all along to bring you to this point. Don't make yourself small. Don't sell yourself short. Don't declare it's the end. Declare it's a new beginning. And God has been, it's kind of taken me back to some of the things that he spoke to me 10, 20, 30, dare I say, well, I'll stop at 30. 10, 20, 30, I can go to 35 years ago. And 35 years ago, it looked very different. But from where I am right now, but it's still the same word. He's still performing that same word, even though it doesn't look like I thought it would. He moved me from, somebody asked me, people often ask me, well, are you still leading worship? And I said, well, sometimes, you know, when nobody else is around to do it. But it's a thing that God is saying, but I'm put you in a position to prepare other people to step into that place. So that's what this season is about. It's still connected to what he spoke to me 35 years ago. It just looks different because now I'm pouring into others to help them develop that gift and to step into that place. And that is the place we need to be in if God has given us. And he's saying, I want you to step aside and mentor and bring somebody alongside that can now do it because you're going to be passing the baton on, because what I have for you over here is something different and something greater, and it's going to produce even more fruit. But I need you to make sure that you are pouring into others, not holding on to it so tight that nobody else can do it but you. That's not kingdom, and that's not discipleship. I've been asking God, what does discipleship look like in the 21st century? And it's not really that vastly different from what Jesus did. I'll get some folk, and I'll pull them along, and I hold them accountable, and I pour into them, and I show them how I do, how it's done, and then I watch them do it, and then I let them do it by themselves, and then I just go away and take a nap or go up into the mountains and talk to my father while they're doing what I have taught them to do. But not just what I've taught them to do, but how I've taught them out of a heart of love and forgiveness and compassion and mercy. That, because that's what matters most. Everything Jesus did was out of that place of love, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, grace. So is that what people experience from you? If we are going to aggressively advance the kingdom of God, we have to do it out of the nature and character of Christ always. We've got to be bold, but we've got to be compassionate. We've got to speak truth, but we got to speak it in love. We got to be humble. We got to be willing to admit when we've made mistakes, when we've been wrong, quick to seek forgiveness, let go of offenses, choose to forgive. And I say choose to forgive because it's a process, y'all. It's a process. But when you make the choice, the grace is available. I was sharing the other evening a time that God had put me in a position to make a choice to forgive someone who had just about devastated my life. I mean devastated. I didn't trust people anymore. I didn't even realize that every decision I made was based on what had happened to me when I was a teenager, and I didn't even realize it. I didn't realize that that was all this stuff was still there. I never dealt with it. And then this guy calls me up on the phone 16 years later. I've given my life to Christ. I'm trying to just be, you know, step into all that he has for me. And this guy just calls me out of nowhere. Haven't seen him since high school. Haven't talked to him since high school. Starts telling me, you know, I went away to school, but I didn't do really well in college, so I had to drop out. Then I got married, but that didn't work. I had to get a divorce, and I'm on the phone going, sounds like just desserts. We reap what we sow. You know, yeah, you're getting what you reap. And then he said, well, I started going back to church, and I want to get my life back together, and I want you to forgive me. And I'm going, what? And in my mind, I'm going, you got the what? you want me to what? After sister, I had nightmares. I wake up in the middle of the night screaming. I can't trust anybody. I've lost myself, my sense of self. You stripped me of too much. You want me to what? And then God says, it ain't about him. He'll be fine. But you got to choose to forgive. It's for you. And I found myself whispering these words, I forgive you. And I didn't feel like I had forgiven him. And there was just a whole lot of stuff there. But the choice, the decision, released a grace that started a healing process for me. And over a series, and it took some years, but that thing that I had buried so deep and I didn't even realize it was impacting every aspect of my life, God healed with my simple words, yes, I forgive you. And I am so convinced that we cannot step into, some of y'all wondering why there seems to be this block of me doing everything that God has shown me that he wants me to do. And maybe, just maybe, forgiveness is the key to getting you over that hump. Just maybe. The healing process begins with the choice to allow God to move as he wills. I have discovered, and I'm so off script, I knew that. I tried to do the whole little nice thing with the PowerPoint presentation, and I knew I was going to go rogue, but so maybe next time we'll get through the PowerPoint. But I am so convinced that what this life of faith, this life in Christ is really all about, y'all, is making choices every day that declare Jesus really is Lord. Now, that's some aggressive kingdom advancement. When every decision, and it looks so opposite of what the world says. Forgive. Because I remember the next day I was dating this guy, and I said, you know, this guy called me, and he asked, and I told him the whole thing, and he said, and you forgave him. Like, you forgave him? I was like, yeah. Because that's declaring, God, I believe you. I believe that everything that you say is true, everything that you've done is right, and I'm going to choose your way no matter what. For some of us to step into this place of now that God has for us that is different, it's going to be just growing up. Making sure... We pray, you know, we want God's will in our lives, but we want to tell God how to shape that will. So really, instead of, I want your, let your will be done, instead, let me tell you what I want you to will for me, and then let that be done. But if we're going to move into this place, we've got to be in line with what God desires. And we've got to be obedient when it costs us. And we've got to be willing to lay aside our own individual desires, surrender them. Someone had emailed me not long ago, and I keep believing, I've been believing for this thing and for this thing for years and years, and it doesn't seem like it's going to happen to get to the point where it hurts to keep believing. What do I do? And I'm going, I said, at some point, you just got to surrender. Lay it before God and then say, and I've had to do the same thing. Yes, God, this is what I would love to have in my life. But I'm going to surrender it to you. And if I get it, fine. If I don't get it, fine. As long as I've got you, because I don't want to want anything more than I want you. And I told her, perhaps you haven't gotten that thing yet because God knows you placed it above him. He don't want an idol. And if that's going to be our focus, then we got to lay it down and say, whether you do it or not, help me be okay with whatever that choice is, because all I really want at the end of the day is you. And that's how we step into this place of aggressive kingdom advancement, because we've let go of anything that could hold us back from stepping into our now. Anything, everything, it's gonna cost. And we don't like that. Yeah, salvation's free, but to walk this thing out, it's gonna cost you. God is calling us to do. The charge has not changed. To step into the boardroom, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons and declare the kingdom of God is here. Jesus didn't tell his disciples, go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons and say, if you believe on me, you can go to heaven when you die. He didn't say that. I'm not saying there's not a heaven. Yes, that's a perk. But we've made it the absolute goal. And Jesus said, no, you go and declare the kingdom is here. And this is how you know the sick are being healed. Demons are being cast out. The dead are being raised. Lives are changing. The kingdom is now. That's the only way. We talk about, I want to go to heaven. My mother's there. My father's there. My sister's there. Lots of families. My grandparents are there. I don't even know if that's really going to matter once I get there. But yes, I love the idea. You love the idea. None of y'all right in a hurry to get there, though. We got something to do here. God started in the earth. When I read at the end of Revelation, it's his kingdom in the earth, new heaven, new earth. And so everything that he's been doing from the beginning until that kingdom reign at the end, it's been about his kingdom here. And he's called you and he's called me to advance, to show up in places and say, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what life is supposed to look like. This is what God always intended for you. And cause that shift in such a way that people say, I want to know this Jesus because I want to live that kind of life. This is what abundant life looks like. And it only comes in the kingdom of God. Come on in, let me introduce you to the King. Wherever he's placing you right now, whatever that looks like, don't keep asking all, don't put out a million fleeces. God, if this is really you, you know, let the blue car, the blue Mercedes that says, it's me on the license plate, go by. And then you get that, but just in case, I'm not too sure. Can you give me another sign? That's why we went through hearing and obeying and seeing and believing. So we don't need to keep asking for signs. We know his voice. And we'll just step into what he's already prepared for us from the foundation of the world. What is God speaking to you now? Everyone in here has a call and a people that God is sending you to declare the kingdom of God is among you. And he's using everything, every experience, every gift in sync and in concert. Can you imagine all these diamonds and every facet of our diamonds shining brightly? What a glorious sight that is to the world, but even more, what a glorious sight that is to the Father. Wow. They're shining so brightly. The darkness has gone because each person has found their place and knows their gifts and has allowed me to do the work of syncing and blending and mixing it all together. And there's a shine over here family jobs and family services. Is that where you work? And there's a job over here, and there's a shine over here, and the kingdom's been established at the library. And there's a shine over here, and the kingdom has been established in Mount Healthy Schools. And there's a shine at St. Elizabeth Hospital because you've shown up with all that you are and all that God has placed in you. And you're not afraid to speak truth in a non-religious way where people will hear and people will say, well, how does she know that? She doesn't have any medical training. Because I'm tapped into and I'm allowing Holy Spirit to move through me in such a way that I don't have to have that knowledge bank. Oh, Holy Spirit knows all things. He can bring it up just like that. Bringing your light to Dawn Academy. Karima, bringing your light, letting every facet shine. It's time, y'all, for us to step fully into all that God has called us to be, created us to be, commissioned us to do. Allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever work he needs to do on the inside of us. If he's revealing you to hold on to offenses, let him go. If he's saying you need to go to somebody and apologize or ask them to forgive you, go and apologize. Pastor Arnez and I attended a church. We'd have these moments. A pastor would just go, just get up and apologize just in case. Go to somebody. Tell them you're sorry. Just in case you offended them. But, or, you know, I had one of those instances when God says, I need you to go to that person and ask them to forgive you. And I'm like, excuse me? I'm the wronged party here. What you saying to them? And he said, that's none of your business. I'm telling you to go and ask them to forgive you. And as I said before, once you heard, you can't unhear. The only options are to obey or to rebel. And I summoned up some kind of something. Great grace. And said, I apologize. And it was not received well. And then I'm like, what? But it was for me. And God dealt with them as he needed, however he needed to. But it was for me. It released something in me that allowed me to step further into what God had for me.